Good evening, everybody. If we could have your attention, welcome everybody to the Sima County Board of Commissioners meeting for August 17th, 2023. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofton?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Everybody's here. Looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion over the agenda? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion over the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. It is time now for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step up to the microphone. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, Courtney Wilbur. I'm once again here to express my support for the health department. Unfortunately, once again, Emmett County commissioner has decided to stand with these radical commissioners from other counties. So now we are going to have to sit through another excruciatingly long meeting. The public will always be here to hold you all accountable. We all know that dental health is directly connected to our overall health, so help me understand why we wouldn't connect the young people in our communities to a chance at better dental health. Having someone come to the kids and offer preventative dental health care for children when there are not enough dentists in northern Michigan would have been very helpful, but some commissioners decided to let this opportunity get away from us. The select few that are claiming they want their government to be less involved are including themselves even more in governing decisions than they are actually needed. Stop taking away opportunities from our community, and it's time we had different commissioners on the Board of Health. Don Mapes and Rich Ginnup are not responsible enough for this role.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm William Twitty, 2385 Manitou Trail, and I want to talk to you about the environment. You all know that climate change is here, even though you suspected it may have not been a year ago, but here we are, and it's going to get worse. But I'm talking to you specifically about two problems. One is invasive species. And the invasive species I'm talking about is something that nobody pays very much attention to here in Emmett County, and that is Scotch pines. Scotch pines are really from Ohio, and they were originally grown here as Christmas trees, but people quickly found out that the needles were sharp and uncomfortable, and so they let them go fallow. So now we've got Scotch pines all over this community. And it's getting worse and worse. Every time somebody leaves a farm, the Scotch pines grow. I would encourage you to consider doing something about the Scotch pines on your properties. And I would also encourage this board to make it known that Scotch pines indeed in this area are an invasive species. The second thing I want to talk to you about is climate change. And that has to do with solar panels. For the next 10 or 15 years, we have an opportunity to rent out some of the Emmett County properties to put solar panels on. I encourage you to not go any farther than that because in the next 10 or 15 years, the solar panels will be up beyond the atmosphere about, 22,500 miles up so that it's heliocentrically connected to a microwave system down here. If you're not familiar with that, you can look up an article in Science Magazine, AAAS, or you can contact the California Institute of Technology. They have successfully put up a microwave system and with solar panels and are beaming down small amounts of microwave for energy now. But in the future, 10 or 15 years from now, that's probably the way we'll get our energy. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Mary Lieberman, City of Petoskey. I'm deeply concerned and personally outraged by what transpired at the Programs and Evaluation Subcommittee of the Health Department meeting on August 10th. Commissioner Ginnup was there and serving as representative of Emmett County. Two kid-driven grants were presented by the health department staff, one concerning student-led awareness of electronic nicotine device dangers and their negative impact on our communities. The other would provide oral health preventative sealants or fluoride to prevent cavities in students with Medicaid who may have to wait as long as 9 to 12 months for dental appointments. At the June 6th Board of Health meeting, the superintendent, again, this is not the same meeting, it was the June 6th Board of Health meeting, the superintendent from Ellsworth requested that board members contact the schools before acting on grants that impact students. Very simple request, easy to do. Did Commissioner Ginnup or the rest of the committee members do that? I know I did. While Charlevoix Commissioner Chamberlain made the motion to recommend both grant applications to the full board, not one representative from Antrim, Emmett, or Otsego counties would second that motion. How irresponsible. Commissioner Ginnup's only comment during the meeting was to acknowledge his presence during roll call. No questions, no comments, no concerns, thus leaving Emmett County, again, with no representation or voice. What is this board going to do as your own code of ethics and resolution to guide representation on the Board of Health has been violated? I challenge you to please take the appropriate action. Additionally, during the same subcommittee meeting, highly offensive racist remarks and derogatory comments were made by one or two of the commissioners. I would hope that our county's representatives, whoever they are, would denounce these or object when such statements are made in public meetings. Thank you. And I'd also like to say hats off to the health department staff and leadership. They are outstanding.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Bob Wiley, and I'm from Emmett County. It's my understanding that the grants will be administered by RISE, R-I-S-E, and R-I-S-E stands, my understanding, is for Responsible, Inclusive, Sexual Education. I don't know if this is mission creep for that organization, but seems like they're... Their goal is to educate, beginning in, their main goal had been to educate children beginning in kindergarten about their sexual orientation and to help them guidance and give them encouragement to find their own sexual identity at very early age. The type of responsibilities that are represented in both the grants used to be taken care of by parents. And maybe that's the big problem, is not that we don't throw enough money at certain projects, but we need more of a family-based society and somehow encourage families and parents, because the nudging of these type of progressing programs can create tremendous stress within the family, actually pitting the children against the parents, which I think might be the hidden design of some of these grants. So, Ms. Lieberman was indicating that there wasn't any representative for Emmett County, but well, there were two in the previous speaker represented that there was no representatives from Emmett County, but I was there and spoke, and so was John Swarthout from Emmett County. And so there was some representation from Emmett County, and I have faith in this board and also the health board. I think you are good, solid, sound people and will make the right decision as these matters come up.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Lisa Keene. I live in Emmett County. I have no time to refute the incorrect association with sexual identity and tobacco prevention, but some of what we've heard tonight is grossly incorrect. I was present when all of you supported an initiative to get better food for people who are in jail. Thank you for that. Proper nutrition is important. I was also present when Commissioner Ginnup and Commissioner Mapes made it so that the meeting of the Board of Health that was addressing a grant to get children better food couldn't happen. And I'm here because I represent kids. As a teacher, this is the fourth grant by this P&E committee that has impacted children negatively. Schools don't have money. Anybody who doesn't know that, come spend a day with me. You are welcome in my classroom. I'll put you to work, and you will see. We don't have time to write grants. We rely on our government. We rely on partnerships with people like our amazing Board of Health. Thank you for all that you do. Now, I'm not one to just make assumptions, so I reached out to some of you. I called Commissioner Ginnup and asked him, since the one word he uttered in the meeting that was nearly an hour was, here, and said, why? What's wrong with this grant? And Commissioner Ginnup said, well, I know that the sheriff of Otsego County opposes it. Okay, I called him up. Hi, Matt. Can you tell me about this grant? What's bad about it? Because I know there are initiatives in schools that seem really great in theory, but in practice, they just don't work. And so there must be something like that. Can you help me understand? He said, what are you talking about? I never turn away free money. I don't know about this tobacco grant. So either there's dishonesty or there's a lack of communication. But regardless, there was no representation from anybody from Emmett County besides here. I asked Commissioner Ginnup again tonight, and his response was, well, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm working on the agenda. I said, oh, good. Is it on the agenda? No. Well, can you help me understand? I'm under no obligation to help you understand why I voted the way I did. Okay, fine. When I talked to him today and he hung up on me, I was explaining about a little student I had who came up to me crying, Mrs. Keene, my mouth hurts. So I said, buddy, open up. Let me see. Inside was rotten molar, split in four. Now, just having a loose tooth hurts a little, buddy. When your tooth is rotted out and split, how is a child supposed to learn? When I called his mom, she said, oh, my gosh, I know it was bad, but I don't know what do I do? Do I pick him up? We don't have a dentist. And all these people in your Jesus brigades have let the Christians help them, bring them to schools. We obviously don't separate church and state very easily at meetings. If it helps kids, we don't need to do it in school. Bring your people to schools and help kids if you're not going to let the health department do it.
Thank you.
Thank
who's next?
Good evening. John St. George of Harper Springs, Nevada County. I'm a board certified infectious diseases specialist practicing in Petoskey for 31 years. In that capacity, there was some public health training. I've been unable to, sadly, to attend any of the Board of Health meetings in this county because they're during business hours on busy work days. I get reports back, however, from friends and other concerned citizens who explain to me the goings-on at these meetings. Now, in my multiple capacities at the hospital, I've had the opportunity to lead committees where, when faced with making decisions on problems of which I don't have sufficient knowledge, I reach out to people who do and get their input, more than one input. Because the way to make decisions is to understand the problem and to incorporate the valued input from those who have the expertise. And from what I'm seeing in the board meetings, that seems to be sorely lacking. I don't have any direct knowledge of schools, but I read and I see that schools are a mess everywhere. Teachers have their hands full. Children's behavior is unruly. And the fact that we would turn down money designed to help get kids under control in school, learn some self-awareness, learn some control strategies is kind of mind-boggling to me. So I would hope the leadership of this committee, members of our board of directors, would indeed, if they don't have knowledge of a specific area of expertise, then seek it out from those who do. People are willing to help and want this community to be a better place. I hope to see better from this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank you for your work on behalf of Emmett County residents and for the opportunity to comment tonight. My name is Martha Lancaster. I live in West Traverse Township, and I've lived in Emmett County for over 40 years. I have an educational and professional background in public health and in Health and Human Service Administration. And like many here, I'm here tonight to speak in support of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. In my many years of working collaboratively with and in volunteering for and being a client of the Health Department, I've been very impressed with what it accomplishes. We have one of the best health departments in the state, especially in a rural area. Our health department staff are knowledgeable, proactive in seeking evidence-based solutions to meet identified community needs, and in leveraging funding to provide services that are both wanted and needed in the community. Later this evening, you'll have the opportunity to hear a report on the work of the health department from its director. I hope you've already read the written report that's provided, the annual report, and if not, I hope that you will. It's very informative and impressive. Like many, I've attended or watched a number of Board of Health meetings this year, including the program committee meeting of last week. And I'm extremely concerned that several members of the Board of Health have no interest in providing the needed services for the community. Instead, they're voting to block important programs and generally obstructing the work of the department. And among these is one of Emmett County's representatives, Rich Ginnup. Mr. Ginnup consistently votes against promising new services as well as funding to expand or continue existing ones. This is despite being provided with well-documented information from health department staff on the needs these programs will address. This is despite much support from community members, other agencies, schools, etc., for those programs. Moreover, he rarely comments on the programs, asks questions, or otherwise gives county residents any idea why he's opposing programs to address important issues like school nutrition, children's dental needs, or teen tobacco use. Mr. Ginnup's role on the Board of Health is obstructive and, frankly, an embarrassment to citizens of Emmett County. Moreover, it's in violation of your own code of conduct. In June, this board approved a policy requiring appointees to the Board of Health to, quote, support the health departments in its endeavors, quote, serve in a way that honors the stated mission of the health department, and, quote, honors and respects the contributions of the health department staff. Mr. Ginnup's service does none of that. Therefore, I'm calling on the Board of Commissioners to remove Rich Ginnup as one of our representatives on the Board of Health. The Health Department of Northwest Michigan has important work to do. This obstructive behavior is not serving the voters of Emmett County, nor the citizens of the other three counties representative by Mr. Ginnup on the Board of Health. Thank you.
Point of order, please. Point of order. I'd like to remind the audience you are not allowed, because of policy, that you may not talk or disparage about one or more people on the board. And you may not talk or disparage people that are in the audience either. Policy, stop it. Not allowed.
Yes.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who's next?
John Swartout, Emmett County. I encourage everyone to do your own research on the non-governmental organizations providing the grants to HDNW that are being reviewed by the Board of Health. The unfortunate characteristics shared by the CareQuest dental grant and others rejected recently by the Board of Health is that these NGOs leverage philanthropy, which we all appreciate, to create a public expectation of free services and build a culture of dependency with the ultimate goal of promoting a socialist political agenda. Again, do your own research into where these grants are coming from.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Julie Martinson, and I'm from Emmett County, and I'm here to speak in support of what I feel is the public health department's job that they've been doing. I was really unaware of a lot of the things that were going on within the Board of Health, and as I watched some of the videos, became more and more concerned about the agenda that seems to be moving forward to really limit and almost defund the work that the Department of Public Health is doing. Specifically speaking to the grant for the children's food, I've watched Groundwork grow as an organization and seen the great work that they've done and the fact that that program was shut right down. Thankfully, United Way was able to step in and resurrect it, so the kids will get some benefit. As to these other grants, again, this is grant money on the table. It's not like the government is handing it out. And speaking to some of the comments made by some other folks regarding the dental grant, they seem to feel that somehow having this service provided by Dental Clinics North or by this organization, if they have a mobile van, was going to somehow take away from the regular dental practitioners in our community. And I'm here to speak to having been a practicing dentist in this community for 30 years and watching the struggles that people had accessing dental care, lack of insurance, lack of any kind, you know, their own personal resources, and yet they've got a child in pain or they may be in pain and having nowhere to turn. You know, in some cases, people will even end up in the emergency department because of dental problems. And the one comment was made about, well, you know, care can't be provided free. You know, what are the people supposed to, you know, just do this care for free? Well, who do you think with all the uninsured population and people that show up at the ED or anywhere else, where do you think that money comes for to pay for that care? Any idea? Because I did a bit of research about it, and billions of dollars every year, like to the tune of like 40 or something over the nation. And these healthcare costs that are not covered end up being covered by the government. The government has to step in. There's a little bit of philanthropy here and there, but by and large, we the taxpayers end up doing this. So by denying access locally to these programs that are going to help children and with some kind of a rationale that you don't like the political agenda of some of the people that are behind the organizations, even though the service that's being there has no agenda. It's basically, we're here to help you with your teeth. It just kind of blows my mind. And I know when Dental Clinics North came, it was like a big boon to the community because all of us, I saw Medicaid patients when I first came and practiced, and I've got to tell you, you know, there's no dentist in town that'll say, yeah, I built my practice on Medicaid patients. Okay, well.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on, step up. Thank you.
Jackie Kohler Rowe, Bear Creek Township, born in Little Traverse Hospital when it was the size of a Red Roof Inn. I went through the Petoskey school systems. I didn't feel groomed. I sent my kids through the Petoskey school system. I'm 76 years old. I've been here a few years. I've seen a few things. I didn't see any grooming. My grandson is in the Petoskey school system now. The main concern he has is whether or not it's safe to use the restrooms in the high school. Now think about that one. It's not grooming. It's a whole nother ballgame that you aren't even paying attention to. So go talk to your school administrators. Go talk to your teachers. They'll give you the straight story about that. And if you know a teenager, go talk to the teenager. Now, I want to support any grant money that this board can come across and use. I work with the Northman's Den. I know the need that is out there. I see the number of kids that come each week to a high school or a middle school pantry. It is tremendous. At least 40% of the children in this county qualify for free lunches. That's not anything to do with somebody not trying hard enough, somebody looking for free. We're talking about hungry kids. And the best we can do for that is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Beth Compton. I reside in Emmett County and have done so for the last 63 years. I have also been a nurse in the healthcare system in women's and children's health. I have been in the homes following births. I have walked the mothers through the whole process before, during, and after care. I have helped in the pediatrics department, and we've always tried to provide the best possible care that we can here. And any of the nurses or the teachers or whatever want to do that. I would like to request the Board of Commissioners, especially its members on the Board of Health, to reconsider the application for the CareQuest grant for disability inclusion and justice in oral care. This is a grant application proposed by the Health Department of Northwest Michigan for $125,000. This grant would provide the funding to contract one day a week with a registered dental hygienist in each of the child and adolescent health centers in Gaylord and Mancelona. Having worked as well as an OB, I've also worked in the health department for 5 years while my kids were going to school. I've been to those communities, every single community that you people represent. When we have one day a week where we had to go and if somebody was sick, go to those communities. I've been in your communities. There's a huge need for dental care and health care and provisions of food that we're trying to meet. The hygienist would provide preventative screening, sealants, and fluoride treatments to prevent or to stop cavities while awaiting to visit a dentist. Current wait time, as she said before, is 9 to 12 months. This program will supplement services provided by Dental Health North in our school systems. Our four counties are in an area that is considered a dental health care shortage area. I was not able to attend the meeting, but I watched it 3 times on video. And there definitely is a need and in this area for that. And that was not being addressed in the meeting. It was personal, and there just aren't enough dentists to go around, and it's impacted everybody.
30 seconds.
This is a wonderful opportunity to provide dental care to children in our community, and it's hard for me to understand why these grant proposals are not being granted. At the recent Board of Health budget grants, and again, most of this was covered by the other thing, but your responsibility according to your own rule for Board Health of Health responsibilities. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Jenny Johnson, Resort Township. I'm here to talk to our community. The mission of the Board of Health is to work on behalf of the entire community. They focus on our most needy families. Their goal is to promote well-being, taking care of babies, children, and older adults, prevent disease. Public health officers help eradicate polio, smallpox, and other lethal diseases that our parents and our grandparents endured. They provide immunizations. They protect the environment. They make sure that we have clean water to drink, provide restaurant inspections, inspect septic tanks. I do not believe that our voters would have elected commissioners who advocate through their actions for destroying our 100-year-old health department. Commissioner Ginnop, Rubino, and Mason do not care about the Board of Health or the health of our kids. They react to what they perceive to be inflammatory language versus looking at the purpose of the grants. Last week, they chose to not support two grants, one that would help our poorest kids access basic dental care, kids whose teeth rot, have health problems that follow them throughout their lives, leading to shortened lives. This is the care that their families cannot afford nor access. These are kids who are not going to private dentists. The anti-smoking grant would have kids talk to kids about why they shouldn't vape or smoke. Both contribute to dental and other health problems. The commissioners didn't take the time to read the infographic that CareQuest developed. It simply explains the lifelong problems that happen to people with poor dental care. Commissioners Ginnop, Rubino, and Mason instead cared about the word disrupt instead of the negative health impacts on our kids. They're bringing culture wars into their jobs as commissioners instead of working to improve the lives of their citizens. They did not react to the commissioner who advocated for using parasitic cleanses or for using garlic and cayenne pepper to impact, to fight infections. I think our doctor would argue that those are not effective. So as a concerned public, we need to work to vote out these commissioners in exchange for commissioners who will work to improve the health department and the well-being of our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening, commissioners and administrators. My name is Ange Duncan. I'm from Petoskey. On June 5th, a resolution that I'm sure you all remember was declared and adopted that is intended to guide its appointees' representation of Emmett County on the Board of Health and states in part that they agree to the following: to support HDNMW in its endeavors that comply with the Michigan Health Code, serve in a way that honors the stated mission of the HDNMWM that is part of the contract between the four counties, and later, to honor and respect the contributions of HDNWM staff as they perform their duties. Take time to learn about services, funding mechanisms, health code requirements, and value to Emmett County residents, and consider these factors before making policy decisions. During the August 1st Board of Health meeting, an adopted motion was proposed in which three administrators explained very clearly that the changes were an extremely inefficient use of their time and resources and would require more work than it would be possible for them to perform while meeting their other job requirements. Yet our representatives chose to vote in favor of that motion. How is that respecting or honoring staff and their time, experience, and knowledge? Additionally, during an August 10th Program and Evaluation Committee meeting, two grant projects were proposed. In explaining the grants and programs, the administration was very clear in stating that these grants fell well within the guidelines of the stated mission of the HDNWM. While the arguments against the grants made by health board members were off subject, wildly inappropriate, and showed no regard to the value these programs would have had for their residents, neither grant was approved to move forward. Given how quickly the more than $1 million in projects, some matched either equally or in part by the county with taxpayer money, were approved at the Emmett County Board of Commissioners meeting last time, without even half the amount of questions, comments, or discussion, the bias and intent to obstruct programs within the health department that would assist less advantaged residents was overwhelmingly evident. The approval to match $40,000 of taxpayer money to convert a tennis court into a pickleball court, for one example, while blocking one grant for a student-led project to address tobacco use in schools, and another to put much-needed dental hygienist in schools with underserved children, demonstrates exactly where the current representative's priorities lie, and it is unconscionable. It is time to stop playing games with people's lives. It is past time for new representation on the Board of Health. The multiple violations to the resolution in effect in June and the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County Commissioners are easy proof of that. Fortunately, the Code of Ethics, Section 15, also provides a clear way forward in regards to accountability. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Tracy Skinner, and I'm a resident and a voter of Emmett County. After the last county commissioner meeting in this room, there was a group of audience members that had a discussion, and I found it very thought-provoking, and I appreciated the willingness of people to come together to discuss differences. And one of the possible points of agreement that was over the past 3 years, it has been an opportunity for all of us to walk through history, and it has been challenging for everyone in many different ways. People have felt like they've lost control over aspects of their lives and been told what to do. They're angry and they're looking for a way to feel this will never be repeated. I understand that. This represents a challenge. Where do you focus this anger that has been generated over the past 3 years? And it seems to me that much is being directed at your local health department and its employees. These are people in your community that you see and talk to and share your frustrations. Let me tell you, people did not go into public health 30 years ago to lay in wait for an opportunity of the past 3 years. People that enjoy that level of conflict would go into politics, law, or perhaps professional wrestling. Public health is, by its nature, primarily preventative. It is testing, research, and understanding. Our communities have reaped the benefits of this with silent victories of clean water, decreased infant mortality, decreased disease transmissions, and much more. I watched the August 1st Board of Health meeting, and I appreciated Commissioner Ginnup and Commissioner Mapes giving words of support during their closing remarks. Commissioner Mapes, I want to let you know that your approach to understanding and asking clarifying questions was greatly missed from the August 10th Program and Evaluation Committee. I struggled to see the sincerity of the words that Commissioner Ginnup spoke at the August 1 Board of Health meeting by how the committee meeting unfolded. It's difficult for me as a voter to understand what you were using as a guideline to make decisions. Your lack of support for the programs being discussed, you were silent. There was nothing. I would love to understand how you make the decisions to vote against programs that end up ultimately costing the health department more money to provide the same services. And this is in reference to the donation from the Community Foundation for postage. It did nothing to reduce taxpayers' costs. It simply made what the health department was going to do more expensive. And for a group that promotes fiscal responsibility, I don't think that that is consistent with what your values are. I would hope that there would be some communication for your reasoning and support, and that you would give more attention to the feedback that's given to you by Dr. Meyerson rather than a Google search for a website to find the word disrupt.
Thank you. Who's next? One more time. Anybody else? Okay, so it is time for Dan Thoreau from the Health Department.
Excuse me. Some water there.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see everyone. Tonight, you have the 2022 Health Department of Northwest Michigan annual report in front of you, and I'm just going to go through that as you flip through yourself, and everybody should have a copy, hopefully. So the theme for our annual report this year is We Are HD&W, and really that has to do with just kind of reintroducing the public to who we are, you know, what we do. So much of, you know, the last 3 years, you know, people were introduced to us during COVID because of our emergency response, and there's just so much more to the health department than that. So over the course of 2022, we transitioned from a public health response to disease, to really disease management as COVID waned and we got into a more normal pattern with that. Essentially, it was a demobilization period after a prolonged public health emergency. And we realized after 2 years of responding to that emergency that our staff were literally exhausted, and there was a lot of work to reignite the life-changing public health programs to help residents of our communities. So we have been working hard to introduce or reintroduce the community of Northwest Michigan to the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. Essentially, we are HD&W. So when I presented the annual report for you a year ago, I was only a few months into being appointed interim health officer with many challenges ahead. My goal at the time was to right the ship after some turbulent seas. And I think in many ways, you know, we have been successful, although I know that we have our share of challenges ahead. But I'm proud of the work that we have done so far. We have hired a highly qualified and talented chief financial and administrative officer, Shannon Klinowski, who is here with us today, and a community outreach coordinator, Janine Pung, who is also here. And let me tell you, you know, going 6 months without a finance director, I would not recommend that to anybody. So very happy that Shannon's here, and also happy that Janine's here. Also here with us today, someone that helps me on a daily basis and does so much within the health department is Holly Campbell, our deputy health officer. And then we also have Environmental Health Director Jeremy Frug and one of the most esteemed medical directors in the state, Dr. Meyerson. So we have a great staff, and I appreciate that. So during this time period also, we've established roles and responsibilities to continue to move the agency forward post-pandemic, continue to work on community outreach through our programs, through news releases, social media partnerships. And we've refocused on traditional public health programs to prevent disease and prolong life in our communities. So really, during the pandemic, our services saw a really huge decline. As you can understand, you know, people were staying home and just not coming to us for services. And, you know, in 2022, we were starting to see those numbers rebound of people coming back to us, and that trend continues to go up. I will say that with the exception of environmental health. Environmental health went crazy during the pandemic because, as you know, everybody that could remote work did and moved to northern Michigan, right? So so we were doing a lot of septic and well permits. But as you flip through the report, you will notice that we highlight community members that we serve. So in our family health program, we are family. Through our breast and cervical cancer screens, we're able to detect cancer in its early stages to potentially save lives. Kelly, who is highlighted in our report, has private insurance and could go to any primary care provider, but prefers to go to the health department because of the service that she receives. She's open about how our nurse practitioner, Jordan, has compassionately helped her navigate a cancer diagnosis after finding a lump during screening. Jordan stayed in touch with Kelly and offered support throughout her treatment. And that is an example of why we are HD&W. This is just one example of our family health staff giving excellent care and compassion. This is replicated throughout all of our programs in family health, such as WIC, the maternal infant health program, EMS, or immunization, school-based nursing, children's special health care, just a few examples. We are community. In our community health division, we have empowered teens through student-led, adult-guided programs to advocate for substance-free living. SAFE in Northern Michigan and RISE, which is not an acronym, by the way, Otsego Substance-Free it's an Otsego Free Substance Coalition in Otsego County, and it gives high schoolers a voice to advocate for youth to live substance-free. Health department staff, local schools, nonprofit organizations, and law enforcement Lead the Safe and Rise Coalitions, all investing in the future of our youth in local communities. In fact, a quote from one of the teenagers that participate, that joined SAFE to be part of the solution, said, "We inspire both our peers and younger generations to make smart choices to help save the future. We are HD&W. So we also in community health do school-based oral health, child and adolescent health centers, school wellness programs, behavioral health, having problems with those multiple syllable words tonight, but supplemental nutrition assistance program education, which are all great programs within community health. So also moving on to our environmental health programs, we are good stewards. We protect the groundwater and surface water through regulation of septic systems. We ensure safe drinking water through well permitting and public water system monitoring. We monitor recreational waters, inspect campgrounds and pools, ensure safe food through restaurant inspections. You know, in our EH programs, we're regulators, but we're also educators. They, you know, our sanitarians are here to help our businesses and property owners comply with regulations. Whenever they are building a house or operating a food truck, our number one goal is compliance and not heavy-handed enforcement. A great example in the annual report is about a relationship our sanitarian, Rhiannon, built with a local food truck operator. Collaborated with the owners to make sure that processes were current and the food that they produce is safe for their customers. Their commitment to food safety is a point of pride for them, and this is all a result of Reed being a partner and not an adversary. And I can't highlight that enough about just, you know, basically partnering with individuals that come to us because, you know, people don't necessarily, you know, when they have a dream of opening a food truck, they're like, oh, I can't wait to go apply for my license, right, and have the inspector come out. It's like something that causes a lot of anxiety with them. Same thing with, you know, somebody is building a house. You know, the permitting part is kind of, you know, a big headache for people. So we recognize that, and we want to be a good partner, and we want to help people navigate that whole system because nobody likes to do it, right? Let's just be honest. So that is a big part of our mission at the health department is to be to help people navigate those things and not be an adversary. So just to talk a little bit more about EH services and land use, you know, this year septic permits, they were slightly up in septic permits, but in well permits they were slightly down at Emmett County. 2021 was a record year, as I kind of mentioned, during the pandemic. We just had crazy growth in northern Michigan, which kept our environmental health program very busy. But even though the 2022 numbers are a bit less than 2021, they're still significantly higher than 2019 and 2020. So we're still, you know, kind of hovering around in that higher level trend, but nothing compares to 2021, which was a record year. So moving on to our regional planning division, we are collaboration. In our regional planning division, MyThrive is a community health needs assessment that is done in partnership with McLaren Northern Michigan, Munson, and other healthcare systems in the 31-county northern region of Michigan. The community health needs assessment is done every 3 years to gauge the health of the communities we serve. It's actually something that the hospitals are required to do, and they partner with the health department to do that work. And some of the things that were found out during this time period, and we're actually, you know, just ending one cycle and starting another cycle starting in January, but it's interesting that the four top issues that were addressed were access to safe and affordable housing, access to mental health services, access to health care, and reduction of chronic disease. Notice those three are, you know, highlighting access. Well, that's kind of a function of rural northern Michigan, right? We're 70% rural, so access is a big deal. So working on those issues is something that we as a community need to do. We are dental health. Starting in the 1990s, when the need for oral health, especially in young children, was identified, the health department, along with concerned local dentists, got together and opened the first dental clinic in East Jordan. Since then, Dental Clinics North expanded to a regional presence with 9 total clinics throughout northern Michigan, serving more than 30,000 clients a year, which is a lot of people. Since the beginning of COVID in the spring of 2020, the number of clients has rebounded and financial status has improved greatly. Beginning in this year, Medicaid reimbursements was increased for the first time in many years, bringing that rate in line with the commercial rate. And just to let you know, about 80% of our clients rely on Medicaid coverage that go to Dental Clinics North. Looking at the financial piece, as we wrap things up, we did need to dip into our fund balance for approximately $188,000 in 2022, but this was expected due to a large settlement and other pandemic-related expenses. We do not anticipate having to dip into fund balance in 2023. And I want to thank you, board members, for your ongoing support through local appropriations for the health department. Local appropriations are a small part of our budget, but those dollars are really important because they're very flexible. So we can use them to match in grants. We can use them for Medicaid match, where we sometimes get $2.50 for every $1 expended. This year going forward, we have made the commitment to keep local appropriations flat for the counties, recognizing that, you know, there is some uncertainty with the with what's going on in the economy right now. And we had some increases over the past few years. So last year was flat, and this year going into this year is flat. So I can't, appreciate the support of all the counties, and just want to show that we're, you know, partnering with you in those aspects to provide good services in a economically responsible manner and be a good partner. So that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a couple questions, Mr. Thorell. So it looks like appropriations from the counties count for a very small percentage of the health department budget. You just mentioned that. It looks to me like it's less than 4% based on the chart on page 15. And just to be clear, this is the health department funding that comes from local taxpayers. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be the funding that comes from the counties.
That strikes me as a very good value for the taxpayers in Emmett County. If I understand it correctly, it means 96% of the services provided by the health department are not taxpayer funded. Is that correct?
Well, I would say sort of.
Local taxpayer funded.
Local taxpayer funded. I mean, yeah, I mean the money that comes in from MDHHS and Eagle and some of the other state, you know,
state money comes in.
Yeah, okay. It could possibly be coming from their general funds, which are taxes. So.
So there's a category there in your chart. It's titled Grants and Donations.
Yes.
It looks to me like that counts for about 13% of the total budget. Are those all nonprofit organizations and private donors in that category?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, okay. So would we save local taxpayers any money by not applying for or not accepting any of those nonprofit or private grants?
Not that I can see.
If we don't apply for those grants, what happens to the money?
If we're not applying for them, Health Department Northwest isn't applying for it for that money. It would, my understanding is, it would just
go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
They don't
right.
give it back to the taxpayers in the form of a check because it didn't ever came from the taxpayers to begin with. Is that correct?
Not that I can imagine.
Go somewhere else.
Right.
So. On August 10th, the Program and Evaluation Committee met, and they failed to take action on two grant proposals on their agenda. Could you summarize what those grants would have potentially funded? You don't have to give us a detailed explanation. I'm just curious to make sure.
Yeah, so we had on the agenda for that meeting, so we had a Michigan Tobacco Free grant, which is Michigan Tobacco Free is like a coalition mm-hmm. That operates to reduce tobacco use in Michigan. It was a relatively small grant. It was only $5,000, which would have been divvied up between three schools in Otsego County, and essentially organized and managed by RISE, which is our group in Otsego County that works with youth on substance use issues. So basically it would be a student-led projects, you know, so they would each get a approximately around $1,600, and then they would be able to, you know, basically identify through their work, you know, what is the need in that particular school that could possibly reduce electronic nicotine device use or, you know, combustible tobacco. So we don't know exactly what that would be because, you know, we would let them, we would let them figure that out. And an example I gave at the meeting would be, you know, for instance, if they determined that vaping was an issue in the bathrooms. You know, there are vape detectors that could be purchased and installed. So that could be a possible, you know, example of a use for that. The other one through CareQuest was to provide dental services in some of our school-based clinics, mainly the adolescent health clinics, which are in Mansalona and Gaylord. And really it would just to contract with a dental hygienist to come in there once a week to do oral assessments. They'll look at the patients that are already come in there, look at their teeth, you know, determine if, you know, they have any issues, need sealant, or if they need, you know, if they have a dentist, you know, possibly refer them to their own dentist, or if they need a dentist, try to connect them with one.
Okay. Are those services that would have been provided by those grants, are those aligned with the health department mission?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. We don't apply for grants that are not aligned with our mission.
Okay. Would the services that have been provided by those grants comply with the Michigan Health Code?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and I've explained, you know, probably when you were on the Board of Health, you know, last year, and then, you know, to the Board of Health now, there's a section of the Public Health Code 2433, which gives health departments a broad mandate. It says shall, you know, health departments shall prevent disease, prolong life, and do this through organized programs. So that's why, you know, grant funding is an important piece of our budget because that is where we fill in the gaps from what funding we do receive from the state for the programs that we offer, you know, mandated programs specifically.
Good, thank you.
But yeah, this broad mandate, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there to serve the community.
So now I'm curious, Mr. Ginnup, when you attended the August 10th Program and Evaluation Committee meeting in place of Mr. Mapes, why did you fail to support both grant proposals on the agenda? So you're not going to respond to the question? Well, our code of conduct states that county commissioners should represent the official policies and positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. And in the spring, the Board of Commissioners endorsed a resolution to guide those serving on the Board of Health with clear expectations to support the Health Department of Northwest Michigan in its endeavors that comply with the Michigan Health Code and to serve in a way that honors the mission, the stated mission of the Health Department. Since your actions, or in this case really lack thereof, on these grants appear to violate that resolution, you owe it to the people of this county to articulate your positions. In fact, one of the most basic duties of public officials in the interest of transparency is to communicate their positions on issues to the public. If you're unwilling to follow the code of conduct of this body or unable to articulate the positions that you take in your service on the Board of Health, then you, sir, are bound by honor to resign from your appointment to that board, and I respectfully request that you do so.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. So I guess we can assume that you intend to continue to operate in violation of the Board of Commissioners' Code of Conduct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're clear on that. So this funding would have allowed for consistent availability of a dental hygienist if a child presented to an appointment with a toothache, decay, or mouth pain. The dental hygienist would have been able to provide screening and help coordinate referrals to a dentist in the area. The program apparently could also provide dental sealants. So if you don't support grant funding for the health department to address these dental issues in children, what would be your alternative solution for children suffering from toothache, decay, or mouth pain?
I think it's the parents' responsibility. There's a lot of help out there, and there's help to be found
at the health department for those that are not insured or don't have access to dentists.
There's help to be found.
This is the help we need now.
So, quiet in the audience, please. So, Any other questions for Dan? Any other comments? Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Up next, we have foreclosing a governmental unit report.
So I never thought I would speak about foreclosure and find it to be more popular than the previous conversation. Hopefully, I can get through this quickly and keep you guys from having to be here too late. This report is required to be submitted to you annually. So this is, it sounds strange, but what the state requires is that we report to you the 2001 auction results. So these are for taxes not paid in 2018. We're talking old info.
Excuse me, did you say 2001?
So this is 2000. If I did, I was wrong. Okay. So 2021 okay. Auction okay. of unpaid 2018 taxes. It's approximately a three-year cycle to foreclose once the tax bills go out and they remain unpaid. So in 2021, we foreclosed on six parcels. So just to give you perspective, there's about 34,000 parcels in Emmett County that paid their taxes on time. We foreclosed on six. Actually, not even on time, just paid them eventually. Six of them ended up foreclosing. Of those, the land bank purchased four out of those six properties. The land bank paid the cost that was incurred at that time, the back taxes, the fees, the penalties, etc. Those four parcels were, there was one in Mackinac Resort Sub, and I can elaborate more offline if you guys want more detail. But the basic gist of it is those four parcels are all small, either vacant landlocked pieces of property that fell off the tax rolls at some point and no one wanted them. That's why we ended up foreclosing. And the land bank serves to clean up those properties. And so we were able to, three of the four properties, get them deeded to contiguous landowners for cost to the county. So at no cost, we got them combined back in with the neighboring properties. They're back on the tax rolls, back to productive use, and the neighbors are happy and we don't have a blighted situation. And then one of those four that the land bank purchased was in Mackinac Resort Sub. Like I said, that property, those properties were marketed in the 20s through the 50s as want to own a piece of Mackinac. I see a couple of you nodding. And they sold these little tiny, tiny little lots that are not buildable lots at this point. They have all kinds of issues. Most of them don't perk. And so we would foreclose on these properties every 3 years, the same properties. And it actually costs the county money. The taxes on them were like $30, and it cost us about $300 and some every time we foreclosed. So the land bank started purchasing these properties. Dave is very familiar with it, as is Neil on our land bank board. We're getting to a point after a number of years, we've foreclosed on enough of these, or people have just deeded them to us because they don't want them, that we're getting to a point where we'll be able to start assembling some of those and getting them back to productive use. The other two that were foreclosed on went to public auction. One was a vacant Birchwood Farms lot, community lot. We had a lot of issues with Birchwood for a lot of years. We would foreclose on those lots because the association dues out there were so high, people didn't want them. At one point, Birchwood was actually paying the taxes to force people to continue to pay the association dues. We've had all kinds of issues with taxes as a result. So that actually went to tax sale and sold at a loss. And the other property was in the village of Palston. The village of Palston had done a demo on it. It was a $14,000 demo that was rolled into the tax bill. Once it's rolled into the tax bill, it becomes tax. And so I have to collect it. Obviously, by the time it got through 3 years, they owed $20-some thousand, $23,000 on a vacant lot in Palston on the north side of 31. And so obviously that property sold at a massive loss at auction. We did end up getting $3,300 out of it, which surprised me. But the total cost to the county was so excessive, we ended up doing a massive chargeback. So the village paid about $13,000 back on that, and then the county lost about a little over $6,000 worth of interest and interest in admin fees. So net effect of this report is the sales revenue was $7,531, and the cost to the county was $27,062. So we lost about $19,000, $13,000 of that was recovered by the local unit. So there are no remaining proceeds to claim. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions?
Are you finding as many foreclosures, you know, currently, or is things kind of calmed down?
So this year's foreclosures, I knew you were going to ask it, so I brought that report. We foreclosed on 7 this year. Of those 7, the land bank purchased 4, very similar. One of them was a house that had a half of their garage 40 years ago or something was built onto the property that we foreclosed. So we ended up purchasing that as a land bank for cost. We sold it to that landowner contingent upon them combining it with their property. So now it's all in compliance. And that was executed, completed at no cost to the county. I'm super proud of that. One 4-acre parcel out on Wildwood Road that is being listed with a local realtor for sale. It's a vacant lot, vacant wooded lot. And then there are 2 parcels in the village of Pelston that we combined because individually they're contiguous, but individually they weren't buildable. And so we combined those and we'll be offering those. And then there are 3 properties that we foreclosed that are going to be going to auction. 2 of those, they're up in Mackinac City and they're vacant landlocked parcels. So we're working on trying to get those combined back in and back to productive use. The other one is a lot here in, it's a really, really rough house here in Petoskey. The former owners back in 2014 decided to dig their own basement under the house. And that's probably the least of its issues, which, so yeah, the roof, the walls, the floor, the animals are climbing in through the roof. Dave has been wonderful in helping me keep that mowed down because it's in the city limits and we get phone calls on it. But that one is going to be going to auction with a demo requirement with a performance bond on it. I have had interest, so I'm super hopeful that we get that sold and we get some affordable housing back in our community. So that one I'm hopeful on.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mary? Comments?
Just a quick comment that we work really, really hard with all the foreclosure and all of the lawsuits that you're seeing. I just really want you to know how hard we work to not foreclose. And I've been here for 17 or 18 years, I used to probably say, long time. And in all the years that I've been here, we don't foreclose on struggling families. That's not what we see. What we see are slum landlords that have expunged every bit of usefulness out of a property and then they walk away. We see drug houses and we see vacant, landlocked, problem properties, tire graveyards, trailers that have been not used for 15 years. So if you're ever interested in our foreclosures, I know every one of them. For the last 17 years, I have them all documented and you can see them. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Have a good night.
Okay, so up next is the administrator's report.
Thank you. I'll be short tonight because it's your committee report night. Just a highlight on our staffing levels. We are 5 staff, full-time staff, down right now. I'm happy to report we're offering, extended an offer to one of them, but we have 2 openings in EMS, 1 in sheriff, and 1 in the circuit court. Just a little quick overview. We had talked about our ARPA funding and the money, the $50,000 going out to 18 of our 22 communities. Of that, about $500,000 went back to the Road Commission for projects in the individual communities. 3 projects included upgrades to outdoor recreation areas, 3 projects for water and sewer improvements, 2 projects involving purchase of safety equipment by local communities, and 2 projects were included improvements to township facilities. I've also included the highlights of the fair coming up next week. We promote that August 22nd through the 27th. So starting Tuesday night, we'll have activities going all the way through Sunday. Some of the highlights are concerts with Dylan Scott and Nate Smith on Wednesday night. The monster trucks are back again this year. 4-H Club and all the animals and everything those kids work very hard to do. So come out and see us at the county fair. Now going to the finance report. Our finance director is on medical leave right now. She was able to stop in today, gave me a quick overview. Once again, our financials are in good shape. It hasn't changed much from last month. We're ahead in revenues, and as she reported last month, a lot of that is due to our interest rates and what we've been getting. We're finally seeing some movement on that, and our interest rates are going up a little bit higher. Expenses and revenues are in line with what we've had in the past. She will be back in 4 weeks and be able to give you more detail if there's any questions, but I can certainly try to answer if you have any on the financial report.
Any questions? Thank you, Dave. Up next, we have looking for a motion for claims and vouchers.
Mr. Chair, I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $4,719,948.26 and for payment of the committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $5,610.89.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?